You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers finally hire a special teams coach.
Will Leroy Butler get his Hall of Fame invite Thursday night?
We all play a game of Who Do You Cut?
And we preview a fun Super Bowl matchup.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are rounding out our 12th season of bringing Cheesehead Radio to the masses and you. And we get together tonight as the Packerless Super Bowl approaches. Our esteemed hosts tonight are Kelly Hodson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, C.D. Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundravision on Twitter, and lastly, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get this show on the road.
All right, guys. Well, the Super Bowl bye week is over, and we finally get to our last game, and then we can finally start the Packers off season, which I'm sure is going to be fun and full of frivolity and joy, right?
And calm and collected opinions, I'm sure. I love how you skipped over, and there was the Pro Bowl that nobody cared about.
Oh, was there a Pro? I didn't even. I don't think I've watched a Pro Bowl in over 20 years.
Either have I. I mean, like, they're boring. It might as well be flag football. How about this? Flood the field, add some sharks, and maybe I'll watch.
No, thanks. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have 4 quarters of Packers Talk for you tonight. Obviously, the big news as far as the Packers go, Sean Slocum was fired. No, not Sean Slocum. Who was it?
Ron Zook. Oh, no.
Ron Zook. No.
The guy's name that reminded me of meningitis.
So the Packers have finally hired, and I find this a little interesting, the Las Vegas Raiders have actually been, quote unquote, head coach by their special teams coach, Rich Bisaccia, ever since John Gruden was ceremoniously leaving the team earlier this year, went 7-5 with the team and has taken a cash load of money from the Green Bay Packers to go from interim head coach to special teams coordinator for the Green Bay Packers in 2022.
Do we have to say coordinator?
Apparently, because that's what it says everywhere I looked. It's coordinator, not coach. So maybe this is a tremendous upgrade from Maurice Straton and everyone else that we've had who's failed for the last, like, 15 years.
But, you know, if you elevate it to the level of offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator and pay it as such, there better be a heck of a lot of it. And hopefully he has the same power as one of the other coordinators, kind of the, you know, second tier to the head coach. So it sounds like they're signaling that they're going to take special teams a little more seriously this coming year.
I don't know. We're that excited about the title?
I'm excited about a guy proven to a pretty proven guy at having solid special teams. I don't care what they're paying him or what his title is.
As long as he doesn't tolerate people muffing punts off their face, I'll be pretty happy.
19 years as a college coach. 19 years as a NFL coach. So experience is certainly not an issue. The anti-Mo Drayton from that standpoint, for sure, right? They went as far away from that as they could. The anti-Rizzi signing, where they actually went out and spent the money, and I believe Silverstein reported that I don't think this is known fact, but it's believed that he was paid. He's now being paid the most of any special teams coach in the NFL, if that is true. So, you know, they're trying to right a lot of wrongs here. Of course, too late as usual, right? Having cost the Packers a possible trip to the game coming up this Sunday. But, you know, we should kind of be used to this with the Packers the last decade or so. Starting with the McCarthy era post Super Bowl, where something would be just one particular thing would be horribly wrong all year, and they promised to fix it over the offseason, and the next year they did fix it, but then it was too late because it cost them a trip to the Super Bowl, and you know, we've been down this road before. So I'm, call me not excited yet.
And I think the problem is this special teams thing has been an issue for a long time. We complain about the defense. You know, we complained about, you know, Dom Capers, and we complained about Mike Pettine, right? But there were some years where they were okay. The special teams has been just sort of consistently, at best, a zero-sum game, right? And at worst, it's been what happened in the playoffs when the Packers, I mean, it was just a complete cluster and contributed point-wise to the loss in the game. We've never really had a special teams that's been a weapon. We've never had a special teams that we could look at and say, man, this could change the balance of power on the field, field position, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with you, though, and I think that's the biggest point of all this, is that if there was an all-in year, which was last year,
yep,
why are we doing this now? I mean, was there a week that went by this year that we didn't say, it's time to move on? It's time to go.
No, week one, it was a disaster.
Something. Right, and it's a tough one. it's too little too late. We're looking at, and we'll talk about it later in the show, we're going to have to blow up this defense. You know, we're going to take away a couple really strong, high-paid guys and try to replace them with draft picks. We're going to take away a lot of big weapons for Aaron Rodgers or whomever is quarterback, and we may take away Aaron Rodgers and try to run an offense with that. But, dang, we're going to have great special teams now. It's frustrating because it's too little too late in my
opinion. But would you want to settle for mediocrity next year and say, oh, you know, we feel good about our coach, we support him, like LaFleur did all season when he should have been gone like week three?
Like I said, I think next year is going to be such an interesting cluster. I don't know if special teams is going to be high on the list when we were looking at one point as at this being one of the best offenses in the league. And at one point this season, one of the best defenses in the league. And we were saying the only thing that was going to prevent us from getting all the way was special teams. Well, we're not going to have that good an offense or a defense next year. So it just seems a little late to the party.
Oh, it's late. All right.
So, but it's nice to have, you know, a guy here. He's very charismatic. He's very well respected by players. He's very respected by fans. He's well regarded along the league. You know, this is a guy who might be able to step in, especially if Aaron Rodgers goes and Matt LaFleur has to finally establish himself as the focal point of leadership of the team. This seems like a good guy to have there in your back pocket to have that coaching staff get some respect that they need to have.
Well, if you look at his role in with the Raiders, you know, he was kind of the de facto head coach. You know, could he be someone that they hired, paid a huge amount, allowed him to have the title he wanted? Could he be eventually, like when McCarthy was at the end of his tenure, an associate head coach? Are they looking for that type of leadership where the buck doesn't stop just with special teams, but there's quality control across the board?
Well, I guess we will look to next year to see if this will be a great move or not. But as we're going to talk about, there's a lot more moves to go on between now and then. So that's the end of the first quarter. Are we going to call Rich Bisaccia a win or a loss?
I guess we got to call it a win. But
all right. 1-0 coming out of the first quarter, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo. I'm
on
excited.
On to the second. By the time you hear this, it will be Thursday, and this is the day that they will announce the 2022 Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame players. And a guy who was on the list is a guy we've been talking about for a long time, and that is our man, lifetime Packer, number 36, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, Leap 36, as we know him on Twitter. Oh, big list of finalists there for us to work through.
Yeah.
Do you think he has a shot?
Maybe.
So it's always tough, you know, if they decide that we have we put enough wide receivers in there, that would help, you know. You know, we've got a bunch of linebackers. We've got plenty of linebackers in the hall, right? So looking at the list, I think he's got a shot. He's the only safety, right? If I'm looking at the list, right?
Yeah, he's the only safety.
Rondé Barber is a defensive back. I don't know if he played a little corner.
Yeah, I think he played both, right, yeah.
There's a lot of players who did that. They started out as corner, kind of like Charles Woodson.
Right.
Starts out as a corner and eventually moves back to safety, so he goes in as a defensive back.
Yeah, it's a tough crowd. It's a tough field.
Let's hold pick three.
All right. Kelly, we're going to let you start.
Okay, I'm going to start with Leroy Butler because I'm an insufferable homer. But if Lynch can make it into the Hall of Fame, why can't Butler? So Butler, I think I would pick my second choice, DeMarcus Ware.
Okay.
And I hate to say it because I could not stand him when he was in the league, but Jared Allen, because he actually was really good at what he
did. All right. So we've got for Kelly, we have Jared Allen, the Viking. Leroy Butler, the homer, and DeMarcus Ware, the Cowboy and Bronco linebacker, as the three locks to make the Hall of Fame today. Jersey Al, we're going to go to you next.
Okay, well, I think we're all going to pick Butler, probably. But so I'll go with him because we're all homers. I got to go with a big guy on the line. I'm going to go with Tony Boselli. One of the best offensive tackles ever. And for my third pick, I'm going to go with a real, it's probably a long shot, but has a little local value to me, and that's Sam Mills. Graduate.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Graduate really of Montclair State University, my alma mater as well, right here in beautiful New Jersey. So I'm going with Sam Mills.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to go with Leroy Butler. I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I am going to give it up to Tony Boselli as well. I enjoyed that one. He was always, you know, he's just kind of legendary at tackle, especially for the Jaguars for all those years. Not a really long career for him, though. He only played in the league 6 years, so I think that could end up hurting him.
That's the one thing going against him, right?
Yep. But he might have, and then I'm going to be like, man, if he only played for 6 seasons and he makes it in, that's a really good case for Sterling Sharp.
Absolutely. Which is why you're picking him without saying that's why you're picking
exactly.
him.
Exactly. The last guy I'm going to take is,
could see that.
Tackle, yeah. Patriots guy, Raiders guy, ranks really highly on the Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame Monitor rankings, might be the highest guy on there. Honestly, I think relative to the guys who are there. So those would be my three. Those are my three locks.
All fine choices. List,
mm-hmm. The list, they're all worthy of it. There's nobody there to be like, why are they on the list? Hey, you know,
Jared Allen is not worthy of it.
He is not worthy. I agree.
I don't like him, but he actually was effective at what he did.
No, I don't like him. No.
Okay, the dude had a picture of Brett Favre hanging in his locker and obsessed about him. It was creepy.
Was creepy. It was. He's creepy. He was the guy you absolutely love to hate, and that redneck of a redhead that followed him on the Vikings. It's like there's so many defensive players that I could not stand.
You can take the guy. You can take the football player out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the football player. I'm sorry. I can't go with it. Reggie Wayne, I think, is another guy that, you know, has to get a lot of credit. But, you know, when you look at that list, you've got a lot of wide receivers in there. Devin Hester is a special teamer. Torrey Holt was great for years. Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne. And, you know, if you read that massive post I did a few weeks ago on how the Pro Football Reference Monitor kind of ranks players and their deservedness into the Hall of Fame. Wide receiver is a tough gig. You really kind of get this feeling that, especially now you look at this list, that wide receivers are kind of a dime a dozen. You really have to stand out.
Yeah, there's so many of them, right?
Yeah, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens to really get consideration. So guys that, you know, are fantastic wide receivers. Torrey Holt was amazing for years. None of those wide receivers may make it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, out of all of them, I'd go with Reggie Wayne out of the ones that are eligible
year. I think there's an argument for Hester.
Yeah.
But, you know, none of us really pick them, though. It's like I kind of intentionally steered clear of the wide receivers because for that reason. It's like you aren't. They're right. It's in
back.
Consideration.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I mean, it's if you're a quarterback or a wide receiver, it's like you get an easier consideration for being on that ballot. And if you're a tackle, especially, you really have to work four times as hard to get noticed.
Well, Willie Anderson's on there too, former Bengal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple on there, but you're right. I mean, there's one pure safety on there, right? In Butler, really only about three at defensive ends. So out of the list of 15, yeah, that's it's a tough gig, some of these positions to get in. But then you got a ton of linebackers there. Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Patrick Willis, Sam Mills. You know, there's like four or five linebackers and four or five wide receivers. Hard to, I guess it's hard to make
easy. Just take the safety.
That much. Exactly. That's the hope, isn't it?
Well, the position does stand out there, and you look at who other safeties that have recently gone into the hall. I think there's a really good argument for Butler.
I agree, and especially if Butler gets in, then we can start focusing on Sterling Sharp.
If we've said this many times, if his career hadn't been cut short by injury, this wouldn't even be a debate. Exactly. He would have been a first ballot induction.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to call this one a push for right now. If Leroy Butler gets in, we're going to call it four wins for the Green Bay Packers as an automatic win. But if it's if he doesn't make it in, we're going to call it a loss. So we're going to say 1-0-1 right now.
And these jokers never keep score, so we'll probably review who scored the most points next week. So tune in, folks.
We're going to move into their third quarter, and we're going to play a little game here. If you're listening at home, grab your pencil real quick, because I'm going to run through a couple different points here for you. We're going to simplify the Packers salary cap situation. What we've done is, what I did is I took the Packers' $50 million deficit that they're in the cap right now. We've eliminated all the people who are free agents, right? UFAs, they don't count. We would have to sign them. So a person like Devontae Adams or Alan Lazard, we got to sign them to a contract, and then that gets added to the $50 million, right? So we're just going to say, let's cut off the million. Did a little rounding. It should be pretty good. But we have to pick a number of players who add up to at least 50 to get us to zero before we can actually just have simply a legal roster. Now, there's a lot of players on the roster further down, Kurt Benkert, et cetera, et cetera. These guys are making $750,000. I didn't include them because that's pretty much kind of the minimum what they're going to be making. So figure one is kind of like your base number right now. Here we go. I'm going to run down the points. We have to pick any number of players that add up to 50. So Aaron Rodgers, 20. Za'Darius Smith, 15. Preston Smith, 12. Kenny Clark, 6. Randall Cobb, 7. Adrian Amos, 5. Billy Turner, 3. Dean Lowry, 4. Mason Crosby, 2. Elton Jenkins, 4. And Big Dog Mercedes Lewis, 3. So we can take any of those players, any combination. Now, obviously, we know there's a lot more things that Brian Gutekunst could do and push money here and put it under this shell and move it around, et cetera. But we're just going to play this game simplified. Tell me which players you're going to get rid of to add up to 50. Jersey Al, we're going to start with you. Oh, sorry, bonus.
Bonus. And don't forget the bonus.
Especially for Jersey Al.
Yes.
You can take that number to 44 instead of 50 if we renegotiate Bakhtiari and kick the can down the road and have him under contract, I think, until like 2032. So if you want to choose that option, you then only have to cut players to 44. Go ahead, Jersey.
All right. So I am absolutely taking that option. And I do believe that's what the Packers will do anyway. So to get to 44, the easiest way is Rodgers, Z, Cobb, and Crosby, along with the D-back. I do have a second option, and that's the what if we absolutely have to keep Rodgers option, okay? Ooh. Yeah, this one's going to hurt, right?
My head already hurts.
Because both Smith brothers are going, Cobb is going, Turner is going, and Crosby is going, Mercedes is going. With the can kick, that brings us to 42. So I'm saying another two miscellaneous among other people on the roster, restructure something, whatever. But boy, that sure hurts, doesn't it?
So does this all assume we hang on to Devontae Adams, or are we just assuming he gets traded away?
Well, for this discussion, he doesn't enter, right?
Because he's on the books already, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it really matters.
He right. We for the purpose of this game, we got to get to zero before we can even sign him. And then if he's going to cost us what, $25 million a year in the first year,
if not now 30,
now we got to cut another 25 from this. Yeah. Well, won't that be fun? Okay, so so we're going to go down here. Jersey Alice taking the D-back option, and then he's cutting Aaron Rodgers, Za'Darius Smith, Randall Cobb, and Mason Crosby. Kelly, we'll go with you next.
I have slower picks. I can go to get us down to 50 or 53. I'm very similar to you guys. I'm going to say Rodgers, Zadarius, Cobb, Crosby, Lewis, because there's hints that Lewis is going to retire anyway. Dean Lowry, that brings us to 50. If you want to go to 53, Billy Turner.
So the real big difference there, it looks like we have the same four that Jersey Al had. It's just since you did the D-back option, she chose not to extend D-back and has added Mercedes Lewis and Dean Lowry to the list.
Correct.
And I can also throw in Billy Turner if you want to get down to 53.
Gotcha. So
why stop at 50? You could go even lower if you had to.
Okay. And I'm trying to see, did I do some misadding here? Because I'm trying to make sure that all adds up correctly. I said Rodgers, Zadarius Smith, Randall Cobb, and Crosby, which I believe should take me to 44 at that point. I added Mercedes Lewis and Billy Turner.
Yeah, that's 50.
That should take us right to 50 there. I am also choosing not to extend Bakhtiari. I think that's a tough play. That's a risky play because the dude didn't play all last year.
I don't trust his knee right now.
I mean,
I'm not extending somebody out with a dead knee.
Yeah. I mean, it might spend another season on injured reserve and we may not really get, well, certainly never get prime Bakhtiari again.
I mean, if you want to get some large guy with a bad knee, you could sign my husband for the same value if neither plays.
So let's look at this. And, you know, all of us agreed, Aaron Rodgers, Zadarius Smith, Randall Cobb, Mason Crosby are all gone. Both Kelly and I also said Mercedes Lewis. So let's start thinking a little bit about what that does to this team. Okay. I mean, you got to remember, now you got to add in our UFAs. So think what happens to this offense. No Rodgers, no Cobb, no Devontae.
Cobb really wasn't a factor at all last season. No. So it's kind of like, hey, but let's save some money.
But you add that to no Devontae, no Lazard, no MVS. So now you don't have four wide receivers. Amari
well,
Rodgers.
They're not going to get rid of
Luck, Jordan Love.
They're not going to get rid of every single one of them. They're going to play some money ball and see who they can afford to keep. What?
Well, you have to cut Kenny Clark to keep him. You have to cut Kenny Clark to keep any one of those backup wide receivers.
No, you don't.
Billy Turner and Dean Lowry. That adds up more to Clark. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. You have to cut the equivalent of his salary cap hit to bring it. Every person, every UFA you bring in, now you have to subtract more of these players off. And
so
all
the
of this
is
decided
is,
that we can live without Rodgers, we can live without Zadarius, we can live without Cobb, we can live without Crosby, but can we live without Kenny Clark?
No.
Can we live without Adrian Amos? Elton Jenkins?
It's not a hard no like Clark is.
Right.
No, but it's unless something better comes along. And I mentioned this last week. It's we've tried building around Rodgers for 11 years, and whatever we did obviously didn't work. You know, we got to almost to the Super Bowl, but never quite got there again. I am going to put forth the argument that we build it around a defense. And
I think
then
you did that
there.
Last week, too.
I did. And that's why I'd say I'd keep Clark. I would keep Amos. But I would let Lowry go. And you got a little bit of capital then.
A very little bit, $4 million.
And then there's whoever had the nuclear option just now of also getting rid of Preston.
That'd be Jersey Al.
That was my no Rodgers scenario.
Mm-hmm. I think
my no
Rodgers.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right.
I'm sorry. That was my keep Rodgers scenario. I said that backwards.
Keeping him, yes. So now let's visualize this list again. But now let's go with this fantasy some people have out there that we're going to keep Aaron Rodgers 20, and we're going to add Devontae Adams. I don't know if they're going to do some sort
you can't,
of.
You can't have both. You mathematically, I don't think you can keep both.
Right. So now you got to take this, and now you got to subtract essentially 75 from this point scale. Keeping Rodgers, it doesn't add up to 75.
Are you trying to make me cry?
I'm trying to get across to people.
You are the poop master.
I am.
You are.
But there's
and
these
proud of it.
Who quote saying this? How could these people not want to keep Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams? Come on, Gutekunst. You got to keep them. These aren't real Packers. It doesn't matter. We don't have the money.
And it doesn't grow on trees either, blah.
It's just so hard when you kick this can to this point, and now you got to pay the piper, and yet you still have people saying, let's do one more all-in year. This is the price. This was the cost. And like I said, you're going to have to get rid of Rodgers. Zadarius Smith, minimally, you know, the guy 2 years ago was your leaders on both sides of the ball.
But now you have Campbell, who I think has stepped up and has become that leader. I would rather invest in Campbell than Za'Darius Smith at this point.
Is he under contract for one more year?
I don't know. That? He might.
Campbell?
Be.
Yeah.
Campbell. Was he just a 1 year ago?
Yeah, he was a 1 year.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
To keep him now, you have to add that to the 50 and then keep subtracting.
We get your points.
Do you? Oh, good. Yes. I was hoping. I was hoping someone was going to catch on to this.
Yes, we kind of get your point.
Good. Devondre Campbell would be another $6.2 million market value right now.
And we know that if you also want to keep somebody, not to add to playing with funny money that doesn't exist. If you wanted to keep Rasul Douglas, it's another bazillion dollars.
I'm not sure it's a bazillion.
But it's like a half a bazillion. But the sad thing is, if you look at it, the Packers actually come out ahead keeping Kevin King.
Well, actually, Rasul Douglas, according to Spot Track, is $9.2 million.
And he's worth every bit of that. But again, how are we going to pay for him?
Exactly. So not only do we lose the players we listed just simply to get down to the salary, it means all of these UFAs who we discussed last week are also gone. This is a tough situation we're in cap-wise. This is cap hell time.
We get the point, CD.
Fine. We're going to call this a loss, Jersey Al.
It is a definite loss.
This is like the big giant L.
Big L on all our foreheads.
Okay. Depressed Jersey Al today. So we're going to go on to something fun and exciting for our fourth quarter. And that is the Super Bowl, which sadly doesn't have the Packers in it. But you know what? And the Bills aren't in it. That would have made me really happy too. But they actually got two teams that there's neither team I particularly want or need to root against. There's no Tom Brady. That's good. There's no Patrick Mahomes. That's good. You know what I mean? It's just like two fresh teams that we really haven't seen a lot of. And they're young and they're fun. And one of them's going to win. So I'm kind of looking forward to this one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I kind of like the quarterback juxtaposition here, you know, the young guy Burrow making it to the Super Bowl in his second year, and Stafford, the veteran who's been toiling all those years in Detroit and never making it to a Super Bowl, and now here they are, both unexpected and surprised to be here. It's a nice story from that standpoint. Should be an interesting game. Personally, I'm probably rooting for the Bengals, but that doesn't really matter.
The only thing that really kind of is irritating me is, what is it, the second year in a row we have one of the teams playing on their home field for the Super Bowl. I don't know how you avoid it. You set the Super Bowl in Cleveland every year. I don't know. Or Green Bay, for that matter. But I wish it was on
that's,
neutral.
That's one way to avoid it.
Did you
mean it that way?
I meant it that way. It was a dig. No, I just hate the fact that the Rams are playing in their home field. And, you know, that's just the luck of the draw.
Speaking of home field with the Rams, you saw what it was like when they played some teams there. They were more opposing fans than home fans. Now, that probably won't be the case for the Super Bowl.
Well,
but
not necessarily. It's going to be about 50-50. You know, you know what it was like when we went to the Super Bowl down in Texas, there's all, you know, like, wow, there's a lot of opposing fans because there's going to be about a 50-50 distribution. But I like the fact that neither one favorite, and that for most of the year, a lot of people forgot these teams existed.
Yeah, that's the same old group of teams making it.
So it's actually something I might actually watch.
I don't think there's any question I was going to watch it. I just don't have anyone I'm actively rooting against, which is usually what I do in a
yeah
Super
it's
Bowl.
Usually it's like I'm not wishing for a meteor in this game, so I guess that's an improvement. Somebody told me years ago that the Packers aren't in it, it's not the Super Bowl, it's the Pretty Good Bowl. So we'll watch the
All right, should we get to this week's game predictions then?
Absolutely.
I don't know if anyone remembers the standings. We discussed them last week.
Hold on. How did I lose points between last week and this week? I thought it was 3-6.
CD is 5-4. Presently the only one of us with a winning record. Jersey Al is at 3-6, and Kelly is at 2-7.
Meanwhile, were you sure you weren't doping with the Russian Olympic team? Because I did you cheat?
No, we don't cheat. You had a penalty game. You had to take a 1-point deduction.
Why did I have to?
it was an illegal hit. It was illegal. Yeah. So
it's continual lateness. You have to get a 1-point deduction.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
If you're more than 50 minutes late for the show, you lose one in your predictions.
On a weekly basis.
Technically, she should be winless, but.
I hate these true, guys. Just true. So you know.
Should be 0-9.
Why do I put up with this? Hate them all. Your faces.
We're the ones that put up with this. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So anyway. Are the LA Rams considered? I mean, I know it's their home stadium. They're considered the home team, correct? Because I know AFC and NFC alternate.
Yeah, I don't really know who. They do alternate, yes.
Yeah, I believe the Rams are because everywhere I see it's the LA Rams versus the Bengals, that usually indicates they're the home team. So the Rams are not only the home team, they're literally at home taking on the upstart Cincinnati Bengals right now. The Vegas line has the LA Rams as 4.5-point favorites in the game. Jersey Al, as always, we'll start with you.
Are we doing with points or just straight up?
Just straight up.
It doesn't matter in my case because I'm picking the Bengals to win this game. But if someone's giving me points, I'm definitely taking the Bengals. But I think they're going to win it straight up.
Very good. Very good. I'm going to differ a little bit simply because, and don't get me wrong, I'm rooting for the Bengals all the way. They're an exciting little team. The Rams have won Super Bowls in the past. Bengals been kind of lovable losers, and they got kind of a fun, exciting team. However, I just think it's kind of the way things go. I think the Rams are going to win. Not that I want Stafford to win in particular, although don't hate him quite as much as I used to. It just kind of seems the way things are going to go. I think the Rams have been this team that actually doesn't have fans. They sell out that stadium with opposing fans every week. It just seems like the kind of thing that the NFL would want to have anyway. So I'm just going to go with the Rams, but rooting for the Bengals will be very happy if I'm wrong. And also, if I lose, there's no way I can actually finish behind you guys. So it doesn't matter.
Rude.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, dude. The Bengals do have fans. One of my friends that goes back to like when we were three has been a Bengals fan forever. So, Phoebe, this is what I'm picking for you. I'm picking the Bengals.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio as we head into Super Bowl week. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying play Packers Talk Podcast. It's Super Bowl week, guys. Go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go, I guess.
Yes.
I can still cheer for them 365 days a year. They don't have to be at the Super Bowl for me to cheer for them.
Sure.
Okay, go Bang. Okay, we're a Packers podcast. How weird would it sound saying go Bengals?
Who day? Right? Sure. Isn't that what they're saying? Sure. Who day?
Sure. Icky Shuffle.
Icky Shuffle.